This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Do I go now? Okay. welcome, everyone. This is Metaphysical Universe. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm glad you could join us tonight. And where's Vicki? Oh, Vicki, are you there with us?
Is that you, Doug?
Yeah.
Are
you with us tonight?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we want to welcome those who are joining us tonight for tonight's topic on self-confidence. We're gonna try to talk about the traits of self-confidence and
Doug,
what it takes to be self-confident. Yeah, I'm sorry, Vicki. Yes, go ahead.
Where'd you go?
Okay, Doug. Guys.
Yeah.
Put on.
Doug.
Yeah.
Doug.
What happened to Doug?
Come back.
Doug?
Come back. Doug,
all right.
Please.
As you may have guessed, I intentionally started the show out tonight on that note because tonight we are talking about self-confidence. We'll get to that in a moment. This is Metaphysical Universe, a program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science where we explore science and spirituality. We explore the human spirit and empower the human spirit. Good for those of you who are listening live to join us as well as those of you who are listening to the archive. And, of course, you heard from Dr. Vicki Hunter, my confident cohort in this endeavor, and tonight we're going to be talking about self-confidence. Now, if you'd like to get in on it, you're certainly welcome to do that. You can ask questions in the chat room if you're listening live, or you can call in if you have a comment. The numbers are on your screen. Dr. John Hightower is, of course, screening calls as always. So we wanted to talk about this topic of self-confidence tonight, to explore the nature of self-confidence, how it works, how to boost it, characteristics that differentiate a self-confident person from someone who comes off, you know, more as weak and indecisive, some practical methods of enhancing and strengthening one's self-confidence. We'll consider those as well. And then at the end, I'm going to do a guided meditation to kind of seal in some of these different concepts we talk about.
So, you were freaking me out.
Yeah, not that, my usual start.
You didn't even give me any warning.
Right.
I'm thinking, uh-oh.
Well, you can see a clear line of demarcation in those two approaches. And so we're going to be talking about that tonight on self-confidence. Let's talk about what self-confidence is to get this discussion going. Really, it's pretty much what it says. It's confidence in one's abilities to do things. You know, you can be confident in your ability to do a particular thing or not. And people who are self-confident have a general confidence in their ability to do many things. Does that mean that they're confident in their ability to do everything? No, it doesn't mean that. But the truly self-confident people are confident in their ability to figure it out, and they approach it from that point of view. Now, there's some different traits that I've noted here that I want to talk about tonight as far as what goes into being self-confident. And so we'll talk about those. There's a lot of traits that go into self-confidence. And it's interesting to note, it's kind of hard to nail them all down, but there's different elements from different things that all kind of come together and create this confidence synergy, if you will. Another thing to note is that people are not necessarily born with self-confidence. It's kind of something you learn. And it doesn't matter where you're at along the self-confidence scale, you can always learn self-confidence. You know, some people learn it growing up, some people don't. Some people learn it when they get into their adult years, and others take a little longer. So our goal tonight is to help those who may need it to increase and enhance their self-confidence.
That was a good job, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
We could go into theater.
Yeah.
We could take this show on the road. I don't think I have that much confidence. No, that's not for me. Oh. No. I like the radio thing better.
Yeah, you've been on this road.
Yeah, I have. You know, this is such a good topic, and you really did, I'm going to say this sincerely, you really did depict a very good kind of contrary image of yourself off the top of the show. It's that questioning thing. And what I particularly noted about your voice is how you answered things kind of in a question,
mm-hmm.
where everything is a question.
Exactly.
And the voice, how we project our voice, how we use tones, it is, well, that's how we speak on our own behalf. You know, so if we don't watch our own tones, and I really believe this, if we can watch our own voice tones, that can help our self-image, that can help our confidence. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Since you brought up communication, let's just talk about that. It's on my list here to talk about. So speaking of communication, one of the greatest ways a self-confident person manifests that confidence is in their communication style. It's deliberate. This is a huge part of portraying self-confidence in an individual. Be deliberate, a deliberate approach, a direct approach. And as you mentioned, when I was speaking, I was kind of bringing my questions up high, like a question. And that is almost like a little bit of a red flag. Now, I'm not going to address some of the communication style of different countries who tend to have that custom. A lot of times they'll end a statement in a question like high tone. I'm not really addressing those. I'm just addressing a person who's seems to be asking rather than telling. A self-confident person has more of that deliberate, direct statement approach than asking. They're assertive, and assertiveness is not aggressiveness. They're different. If I'm aggressive, I win, you lose. If I'm assertive, I win, you win. That means I'm going to soften my words. I'm not going to be offensive. I'm not going to be combative. I'm not going to say things that are inflammatory and on and on. I'm going to soften it and be politically correct, if you will, or use tactfulness. That's another way of putting it. And in speaking of communication, too, and this kind of overlaps into some other areas, is that whole thing about people who are self-confident don't buy into things that they don't own. So if somebody slings some mud at them, in other words, says something mean or whatever, they don't necessarily catch that. It's like somebody throwing a ball at you, and it's instinctive to try to catch that ball. But they don't necessarily catch it. They let it bounce off. They don't buy into it. They don't take ownership of it. So in communications, that means they're not just getting into these what's an alternative word for pissing contest? Because I can't say that on the air.
Good one.
Anyway, something like that. So, you know, they don't get into that because they don't have anything. They don't have to prove anything to anybody. And that kind of gets us in to the whole self-concept part of self-confidence. You got something?
If I can just inject that, proving something is huge in people dynamic, I think. Because if somebody says something to me that I go, whoa, that, you know, it came at me at left field, what you're saying is like, don't catch that.
Right.
But if I'm really surprised by it and I'm kind of almost, I don't know whether I'm hurt, shocked or whatever, my automatic reaction is going to be, wait a minute, I didn't mean that, and go into the defense for communication. Don't you think that that's kind of instinctual?
Well, it is. You know, it's like everything. I mean, if we don't learn anything growing up or even as we progress through adulthood, you know, our biology is going to take over. Our instincts are going to take over. But the beautiful thing about humanity is that we have the choice to overrule instinct. And so I'm glad you brought this up because I really need to explain the difference between reacting to something and responding to something. It's like when you catch that ball, it's instinctive. Somebody says something mean, we might throw it right back at them. That's reacting. It's the knee-jerk thing. It's like you don't think. That's the biggest difference. You don't think, you just react to it. Now, there are obviously some times in life when we have to react. I mean, if you know, we're out in the middle of the street, across the street, a big truck's zooming toward us, we got to get out of the way. That's reaction. That's life-saving, and that's fine. But in general, everyday life, you know, there's so many instances where somebody's throwing a ball at us, in other words, saying something, which could be mean or it could be disruptive or combative or inflammatory, whatever. We don't have to catch that ball. And when we respond to that, we don't take ownership. We don't catch that ball. We process it because there's one fundamental thing here. There's a great reason why you don't catch that ball. And this is a big point, and I want you to remember this. When somebody does that, when somebody hurls that ball, that figurative ball at you, some mean words or some statement or something, don't catch it. And here's why you don't catch it. Ready? Don't catch the ball. Why? Because you don't have to.
Good one.
You don't have to. There's no rules written anywhere that says you got to catch that ball, take ownership of it, and fire it right back at them. So that's basically self-control. You respond, you think first. If you're not ready to deal with such a situation, you say, you know, that's a topic that I can't, don't have time to deal with right now, but I will in an hour. I'll meet you then, or whatever the case may be. That's a way of handling that kind of a thing. So I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to explain that. So let's go back into this self-concept thing. People with self-confidence have this self-concept that is confident. And as I said, they have confidence in their ability to either make it happen, to do it, to figure it out, and that sort of thing. And this is a big one. And this is one that I always look for. And I don't see it as often as I'd like to. But so many people in my counseling and my coaching and over the years, I have had so many clients tell me all the reasons why they can't do it. And I tell them, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do it. I want to hear all the reasons why you can do it. A self-confident person has that make it happen, get it done type of thing. They ask, how hard can it be? When they, you know, when they're faced with doing something that they don't know how to do, they don't shrink back. They don't say, oh, I don't know how to do that. I couldn't possibly. They say, okay, well, let's figure it out. Let's see what needs to be done. Let's see how to do it. Now, does that mean they have to do everything themselves? No, but they say, okay, well, who can do this? Let's get them to do it. In other words, it's a very deliberate and direct, assertive approach. So this has something to do with their concept. Now, I've really got to split some hairs here for a moment, because when we talk about a good self-concept, we're kind of starting to get into the area of self-esteem. And self-confidence and self-esteem are not the same things. However, self-confidence can masquerade as high self-esteem. Now, I'm just going to let those words slowly simmer for a moment. Go ahead, Vicki, if you have something.
I was just going to say, I have often described what you're talking about as people who are positive negatives, who are seemingly positive and confident on the outside, but inside they're very insecure.
Well put. And you see that a lot. Just because a person seems to be self-confident does not mean that they have a good self-esteem. And so what's the difference? Well, self-confidence is the confidence in your own abilities to do something or to figure it out or get it done, whatever. Self-esteem is how you view yourself. It's basically internal expectations and validation. You validate yourself. You don't need outside validation or external validation, which we refer to as them esteem. So self-esteem does go into the whole good self-concept thing, but so does self-confidence. But don't forget that they're not necessarily the same thing. Part of that good self-concept is also being self-possessed. This is also a big one. Self-confident people are self-possessed. They know who they are. They know why they are who they are. They are stable in terms of their emotions and their personality. They're not moody. They don't react, as we were just talking about a few minutes ago. They respond to situations by thinking first. These self-possessed, self-confident people are open and forthright. What you see is what you get with these types of folks. They can smile at other people very easily, and that's always a good sign. I see this every now and then. I can remember a number of times when I have been out wherever, the store or a convenience store somewhere, where I've met eyes with somebody and they smile at me. It's just their natural thing. That's what they do. It is so refreshing to see that, because so many people just don't even give you the time of day. They just look away. They don't even notice you. But I've had a couple of occasions, both male and female, where they are so self-possessed, they're so aware of what's going on around them, that they will fire a smile at you just because it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing. And so that's,
I think sometimes the term self-possession could maybe stir a negative thought or being overly confident to people. But if I'm hearing this right, and of course being through the program too, is that you possess yourself, your whole inside. Is that a correct kind of explanation?
Yeah. Well, you know who you are and why you are who you are. So you're self-possessed. You possess you. That means that you hold to your boundaries. You don't encroach other people's boundaries. And I'm going to throw this in because it's kind of related. In my opinion, the cure-all for most relationship issues and other troubles, even paranormal troubles, is to take your power back. That means self-possession. You know, when you're self-possessed, you cannot become possessed by anyone else. And most people are possessed by someone else. And I'm not talking about demons and spirits. I'm talking about other people. They're possessed by other people. And so you have to be self-possessed. Remember, stable. You need to have that stability about you, not moody. I'm telling you, one of the worst things you can do, especially if you're any kind of a manager, you have people at work that you lead, if you are moody, oh my Lord, that is like the quickest way to kill the morale on your team or in your company. Because, you know, if people cannot come to you and trust that you will respond, not react, respond in a stable, mature, you know, reasonable, rational manner, they'll never come to you, because they won't know what mood you're in today. I mean, if you blow up at the smallest of incidents and you handle bigger ones with more rationale and vice versa, you'll kill morale. You're going to kill your team.
Yeah. What really comes to mind when you're talking, Doug, is people who carry their bad moods too long. Because I think it's fair to say that we all can get a little pissed. We all get a little frustrated. We all get a little hurt. We all have those feelings, but they kind of deflate as quickly as they came. Like, they can be vented out. But what I'm hearing from you is when people carry that anger on too long. I mean, I've even had my kids, in all my years of raising kids, you know, I might be taking issue with them on something, but a client comes and I put on a smile. And my kids have said, "How do you do that?" And I said, "Do what?" "Well, one minute you're yelling at us and the next minute you're nice." Well, my client, this has nothing to do with my client.
Right.
It's done. It's between you and me.
Good
and
point.
Some people think that that's kind of being a little bit two-faced. I say it's done in the moment. So when I'm finished dealing with you, I turn my head and I look at somebody else and it's brand new. To me, that's kind of living in the moment.
It's more than that. It's not taking your emotions out on somebody else who doesn't deserve it. You know, you don't do that. You don't, because you're angry at some, I don't know, contractor, you don't kick the cat. You know, you don't take it out on your kids. If you're angry at your kids, you don't take it out on your partner. You know, if you're angry at your boss, you don't take it out on your family, that sort of a thing. You know, and that all comes back to be stable emotionally, stable with your personality, knowing who you are and why you are who you are, and in control of yourself, self-mastery, self-possession.
I think it's fair, too, that in my observation, that people are moody at work or they're moody at home, but they don't show that all the time to their friends. And it's like between friends, it seems to be different. And this is where I say it's like we show different faces to the world. How many times have we said, geez, I couldn't have imagined so-and-so doing that? You know, so that,
right.
that's part of it, too, to be real, self-possessed, and being consistent.
Perfect.
You are who you are.
Consistent. That's great. I'm glad you mentioned that. Consistency is the point I'm trying to make here. Be consistently who you are. You know, don't change for different people. Be who you are. Why? First and foremost, for yourself. Remember, I've said it 1,000 times. I don't know who originally said it, but nobody is more worthy of your own best behavior than you. So don't behave in a way because of what other people do with this external stuff. Remember, self-esteem is internal validation, internal expectations. You behave the way you do because that's who you are, and that's what you expect of yourself. And it's not determined by others. In other words, never let your behavior be determined by other people's behavior. That's self-possession. That's knowing who you are. That's consistency. And that leads us kind of into another element of self-confidence, and that is personal responsibility. Self-confident people take responsibility for themselves. They don't try to shirk it onto somebody else, shift the blame. If they need to learn something, they are deliberate. You know what? You're absolutely correct. I was wrong here, and I apologize. Here's a lesson for me to learn. Please forgive me. And then they go on. Do they beat themselves up? No. They have a learning opportunity here. It's that deliberateness again, and I said that at the outset. This is important. If it's there, seize it. If it's your stuff, own it. If it's not your stuff, don't own it. But if it is your stuff, accept responsibility for it in a deliberate manner. Since I'm talking about, go ahead if you've got a point, then I'll bring this up.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, where in there is the trust? Because I can feel pretty good about who I am, know who I am. But there's going to be these really ridiculous situations that I might come across that I'm really unfamiliar to me. And if I don't know the rules, if I don't know what the environment expects of me, like how do you for a moment then, between here and there, gain that self-trust that you can handle it? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
there's a trust that I think we all have to have of ourselves, too.
Of course.
To be able to manage that confidence with the world.
But see, I think this is one of the areas where people misunderstand. They might say, well, I'm not confident in this thing. And my response to that is, I don't care if you're confident in your ability to do a particular thing. I am confident in my ability to do what I do every day, to do this radio show, to do websites, to write courses that are great. You know, and I won't hold back on that one. I'm confident in my ability to do the things that I do really well. Well, there's some things I don't do so well. You know, gosh, let me see if I can think of one.
Oatmeal raisin cookies.
Oh,
that just blows my mind.
I'm confident that I don't. Well, it's not that I hate them. I don't mind them. It's just that, again, I'm so disappointed when they're raisins and not chocolate chips.
Now,
anyway.
Isn't that a good point, though, that there's this wishy-washy line sometimes?
Yes.
If we go to a restaurant, and it's like, what do I order? You know, and what are the rules here? What do I order? Well, if I order something that's a little bit too much money, but I really want that, and then, but what are they ordering? And I should order more like them. You know, there's that wishy-washy going back and forth kind of thing instead of just saying, okay, what do I want and what can I afford?
Yeah. Well, and you know, and we all go through that at times. But anyway, the point is, I wanted to recapture that too. Is on
Sorry.
That you're fine. The deliberateness, the that's what I wanted to say. On the confidence, you may not know how to do something. And so how do you handle such a situation? Let's just throw out an example. You're at work. Your boss comes to you and wants you to do this new project. You have no experience doing this. Do you stress over it? Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I don't know how to do that. The self-confident person says, well, okay, boss, I don't know how to do that. But how hard can it be? I'll learn. I'll figure it out. I'll find out people who know, and I'll learn from them. I'll incorporate them. I'll employ them in this project, whatever. That's the self-confident way of approaching things you're not confident in. So don't feel like you have to know how to do everything, because self-confident people are not know-it-alls. They just know what they're good at, and they know how to express themselves that way. It's that deliberateness. It's that decisiveness. And that's another element of self-confident people, is a decisiveness once they are committed to a particular thing. For example, problem solving. They might go through a problem solving process. They might look at all the options. They might do the 180 principle on it, turn it upside down. What should I not do? What would be the worst thing to do? What would I do if I couldn't fail? They figure out all the options. And then once they have arrived at a plausible solution, they are decisive. They go after it. Does that mean that they're stubborn and they won't change? No. They'll always reassess, reevaluate. If they have to go a different direction, they will. Self-confident people don't have to always be right. And that's another trait of human nature, the need to be right. People argue over the stupidest things. Why? Things that don't matter. Why? Because they need to be right. Well, I don't really care whether you're right or wrong. I don't care whether I'm right or I just want to know the truth of it. So if I'm wrong, I will absolutely admit that and say, you know what? Wow, you've taught me something today. See, I don't have to. My ego doesn't say, oh, well, Doug, you always have to be right. You know, what will they think of you if you cave and say, oh, you taught me something? I don't care about that. I am who I am. I'm trying to learn, too. Do I know everything? Of course not. Well, I know everything except for that which I don't know. But I'm trying to learn, and I will be very open about it. Yes, you are absolutely right. I apologize if I've offended you. Whatever that case may be, you're deliberate. You're decisive. And that requires awareness. All right, so we've talked about quite a few points here. And for those of you who have joined us after we started, we're going to go for a few more minutes here talking about this subject. If you have questions, be sure to post them in the chat room, or you can call us. Dr. John Hightower is on screening calls, and we'll take those questions. But here in a few minutes... Hold on, just one sec. In a few minutes, we're going to do a guided meditation on this very topic. Go ahead, Vicki.
Sorry about that. I was just going to say, for anybody who missed the top of the show, go back in the archives. It's beautiful. Doug introduced the show in a manner that was not confident, that did not project, and he caught us off guard a little bit. So it was really quite beautifully done, and it's a really good example of a non-confident Dr. Doug Kelly and a confident Dr. Doug Kelly, of whom I much prefer, I might add.
Well, everybody does. People gravitate towards self-confident people. It's I do. I mean, gosh, people who are timid and weak and passive and don't, you know, they vacillate. They don't even know what they want. Wow, just get me away. And that's just the natural human thing. People gravitate towards self-confident people. So you want to look at your own approach. Some of us can appear very self-confident. Make sure, by the way, as we talked about a few minutes ago, make sure your self-esteem is in there too. Make sure that you have internal validation and expectations, that's what drives you, not external validation and expectations. In other words, people with them esteem are only happy with themselves when they're doing what other people think they should be doing. People who have self-esteem are happy with themselves based on their own internal expectations, and they validate themselves. They don't need that outside stuff. So if you look at yourself, where do you fall on the self-confidence scale? If you're somebody who really needs to work on their self-confidence, you got to practice. And it also involves an identity shift of sorts. You need to learn and practice these techniques. Emulate people that you know are self-confident. Do you know some people in your life who are really confident? They know what they're talking about? You know, emulate that. I'm sure that there are areas where you could be very confident. I've addressed this with certain students and many of my students over the years and prior even to IMHS. You know, they know their stuff, but they don't show it that way. They don't come off as confident. And it's about your deliberate communication, the way that you present it. Presentation's everything. So if you can present it in a confident way, you will build other people's confidence in you.
Doug, when can somebody be too confident? What would be an example of that?
Well, when, okay, good question. Too much confidence is when they are not open to other people's ideas. They think they know it all. They think that they should have the final say in everything. And they're not, I've heard more horror stories from managers about their bosses. You know, they won't listen to the managers, the employees' ideas. They take credit for their ideas. You know, it's that back to that need to be right, that ego thing, the unhealthy ego thing, where they have to be the one. They got to be the man. You know, they got to be the one who's it for everything. You know, they can't listen to other people's opinions. If they do listen to other people's opinions, they have to convince those other people they're wrong. You know, so those are some.
Do you have
elements.
A suggestion for, like, a kind of an exercise for people that if they find themselves in an unfamiliar situation, that is there something you can do for yourself in that moment that can collect yourself and then still go ahead?
Yeah.
Like, how can you, like, grasp the moment, kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Well, first of all, are you talking about people who are overly self-confident or not?
No, people who then the other extreme where you're not confident.
Okay.
What can you kind of tell yourself or what can you do for yourself that gives it to yourself anyhow? You know, face it anyway.
Excellent question. I'm going to give you an answer for both extremes. The people who are too self-confident and the people who are not self-confident enough. Now, let's start with too self-confident of people. And I just described them. What's their primary problem? They take themselves way too seriously. Okay, stop taking yourself so seriously. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about us. Be open-minded. You don't always have to be right. You just have to grow. You know, and if you are wrong in something, you admit it, you take responsibility for it. Stop taking yourself so seriously. Stop focusing so much on yourself. That's for people who are too self-confident. Now, let me address people who are not self-confident enough. Stop taking yourself so seriously. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about us. Stop focusing so much on yourself. Stop taking
Beautiful.
Yourself so seriously. I hope that hit everybody. It's the same answer. Whether you're too self-confident or not self-confident enough, it's all based in, it's all driven by your self-esteem. Your self-confidence, but you can still have a self-confidence on the outside and still have low self-esteem or them esteem on the inside, like you call them the positive negatives.
Yeah, that was beautiful, Doug. Perfect example. Good advice.
You know, it's like aggressive people. What are they focused on? They're focused on themselves. They're self-focused. What about passive people, you know, who won't stand up for themselves, who get picked on? What are they focused on? What you think of me. So what are they focused on? Themselves, just in a different way.
You know, my oldest daughter asked what the show was going to be about tonight, and I said it's going to be on confidence. And she explained that she just had a conversation with a girlfriend about a situation at work where one of her coworkers was really having issue with my daughter's friend. And my daughter's friend said, went to this other co-employee and said, I think you have an issue with me. You're intimidated by me or something, I'm not sure. Do you think that maybe we could sit down and have a talk and resolve this? Or, gee, maybe we could bring in a mediator, anything that makes the situation better. And the woman started crying and said, there you go again. and so I think it spoke volumes to what my daughter was trying to say to me, is that people generally have a hard time with confident people, mm-hmm. but the reason would only be because people need to build their own confidence.
Well, and that brings us to that whole intimidation thing, you know? I mean, if you're listening to this, think about it. Do you know anybody that intimidates you? If you say yes, Mike, question is why? Why do they intimidate you? Well, we usually feel intimidated by somebody else because, well, we think they might be better at something than us, smarter at something than us, whatever it is. You know, the fact of the matter is that every one of us is equal. Every one of us is entitled to our perspective without judgment. every one of us is entitled to good things in life, no more, no less than anyone else. So, and everybody's different. And so if you feel intimidated by self-confident people, stop it. I mean, really, just stop that nonsense. Stop taking yourself so seriously. And even if you feel that these people are going to make you look bad, well, you know, that's their stuff. They might try. And you can say, you know, I really don't appreciate you making me look bad here. I'm trying to do my best here, and, you know, you're kind of putting me in a poor light. I'm going to ask you very kindly to stop it. Will you? And then you shut up. You know, remember, questions. Anytime you ask a question like that, what do you do? Shut up. Don't speak. Wait for them, because it puts that vacuum, you know, it puts that little pressure on them. They have to think
usually,
about it.
The thing that I usually ask myself before I speak, usually, you know, sometimes I slip up, but what do I hope to achieve by this?
Right.
You know, what do I hope to accomplish?
And that's a good piece of advice as well. So there's some good stuff here.
It's a great show, Doug. It's a great show, and it's a really important topic. I'm really glad we have this tonight. It's a good one.
So I want to summarize some of the things we've talked about, especially for those who have just joined us. You know, we've talked about confidence. Self-confidence is simply confidence in one's abilities or one's ability to figure it out. You don't have to know how to do everything, but you need to figure it out. Make it happen. That beautiful question, how hard can it be? You know, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't. I want to hear all the reasons why you can. Don't give me the can't stuff. I'm not hearing it. Talk to the hand, the face isn't listening type of thing. You know, you have to have a good self-concept. That involves your self-esteem as well. Your concept must be internally based, not externally based. In other words, if it's externally now, in other words, if you're always thinking about what will people think of me, well, don't forget that old saying too, what you think of me is none of my business. I think that might have originated from Dr. Wayne Dyer, I think. But it's a great quote. What you think of me is none of my business. Make sure that your expectations and validation come from the inside, not the outside, not from others. Don't forget that self-confidence can masquerade as high self-esteem, so make sure you have both. Self-possession is a element of self-confidence. People who are stable and consistent emotionally and in their personality, they're open, they're forthright. They will smile at other people. They will accept personal responsibility. If they've made a mistake, they are quick to apologize, make amends, and move forward, having had a great opportunity to learn a life lesson. They don't shirk responsibility. They don't try to always be right. They don't need to be right. They just want to grow and learn and help others along the way. They're great communicators, especially in the area of being deliberate. They don't hem-haw around. If they don't know what to say, they don't say anything. Or they say, you know, not sure what to say right now. Give me a minute. That's an assertive response. And they are assertive. They don't catch the ball. In other words, they don't react to other people. They respond. They think first. It's like when somebody throws the ball at you, we instinctively want to catch it. Well, they don't. They let it bounce off because it's not their stuff. They take ownership of their stuff, but not other people's stuff. They're decisive. And they have an awareness about other people, as I mentioned with the smiling thing. You know, when you meet eyes with a self-confident, self-possessed person, they're probably going to acknowledge you. They're going to smile at you, whatever. That awareness is just great. I mean, and it's all of this is indicative of a more enlightened person. So hopefully some of those things help in increasing and strengthening your own self-confidence. But you got to practice. Practice, practice, practice. And the best way to practice is when you're alone. Do some role plays. If you're driving to work, if you have a commute to work, practice. Think about a situation that happened perhaps at work or at home or wherever. It doesn't matter. Just pick a situation in which you wish you would have handled better. And then play that video in your mind and substitute how you should have handled it. And practice that out loud. It has to be out loud. You can't just think it, because when the next time comes you need to respond to something, you're not going to be practiced. You got to say it. Let those words roll off your tongue. Try different flavors of words, softeners. Is there any way I could ask you to do this? That's a softener. That's different than do it, you know, or just go do it. Now, there are times when you need to be more direct, like I've been in this program. If you are worried about what other people think, if you're passive in nature and timid and you just don't express yourself, you're afraid because you don't trust people, you're afraid they're going to pounce on you, then my advice to you is to stop it. Stop focusing so much on you. It does not matter what they say about you. It makes no difference. It does not mean that you are any more or any less than what you truly are. Don't buy into their stuff. There's a lot of people who will give you that stuff. They'll try to make you the proud owner of their dysfunction.
There's a question in the chat room, Doug.
Okay.
Philip's asking, what role does past experience play when it comes to teamwork? In other words, if you are self-confident, but you've had a bad experience with someone in the past, but now you still have to work with them, how do you deal with trust deficit in a teamwork setting?
Good question.
It's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think sometimes, if I can just interject, isn't that just like learning the rules of that dynamic?
It is. My first response is, okay, you tell me the answer to that question. If this was a coaching and counseling session, I'd say, all right, you tell me. What are you going to do? That's the confident person says, okay, what can I do? You know, that's the big deal. Not what do I do? The big question is, what can I do in this scenario, in this situation? Well, and my approach to people, you know, if you have betrayed the trust, wow, that's not a good thing. You know, and especially if I have to work with you or if you work for me and you've betrayed that trust, if it's an egregious betrayal of trust, you're gone anyway, if I have any say in it, because that just doesn't work for me. But if I'm working with a coworker and they have betrayed the trust in some way or I can't depend on them, you know, I take that into account, and I always will approach people. I'm not stupid with people either, but I generally try to give people the benefit of the doubt until they give me a reason not to.
And I think that this is a really good question for even with friendships. You know, when we learn something about a friend that we say, wow, I didn't know that, it doesn't mean we write the people off.
Not necessarily.
It just sometimes means that we have a better understanding of our boundaries and and limitations, doesn't it? Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you're working with somebody that has betrayed it in the past or you can't depend on or unreliable, you have to do whatever you can do, whatever's available to you. So if you're depending on this other coworker to get something done so you can get your work done, you can check in with them. If they're dilly-dallying and they're delaying and they're not doing their job and you're a coworker, your only recourse is to go to your manager and say, look, I need to get this done, but I can't do it until so-and-so does their part. Just wanted to let you know. You don't even have to say, will you tell them to go get it done? It's a manager's job to be doing that stuff. If you're a manager, well, you know, it just depends on the role you're in. So the key answer to this question, not so much what do you do, what can you do? Handle it. And if you have to directly address it, if they say, why are you always checking up on me? Well, the truth is that I have to get this done and I can't get it done until you're done. And I have a deadline. So do you. But I have a deadline and I'm concerned that we're not going to meet it. So is there any way I can ask you to take care of that part so I can get my part done? And then you shut up.
You know, I have a small story about many years ago working in the newspaper business. We were working on a special project, and I got assigned a new editor. We'd never met, but this guy didn't like me. I mean, maybe he just didn't like anybody, but it came across he didn't like me. And it was very difficult. So at one point in one of the projects, I said, can we just stop for a minute? I get it that you don't like me. I don't know why. It doesn't matter to me. We have a project to do, and I'd like us to do a really good job. So if we can get the job done, then maybe we can talk about this later. And we did a great job together.
See, and
it
that
was amazing.
And see, what you did, you did a couple of things. You addressed it in a self-confident way. You didn't buy into his stuff. And you were able to operate internally. In other words, your performance was not based on his attitude. Your behavior was not dictated by his behavior. And so you come out and you said that. That was assertive. And aggressive people, which it sounds like you probably was, only respect people who stand up for themselves. So, you did real good there. So,
well, thanks. I was wondering, because this is many years ago. You know, when you're not used to it, you just don't know. You're not always going to get the best results or what you intend to get, you know, when you challenge people. But it's like, I don't want somebody to make me look bad here.
Right.
I got to do a good job. That's more important to me than whether or not you like me.
So you addressed it. So, good. All right. So we got about 15 minutes of time left. And what I want to do now is I would like to take just a few minutes and do a guided meditation on some of the different concepts that we have done today. So whether you're a very self-confident person or a very not self-confident person, this guided meditation should be good, give you some help. And if nothing, it'll boost your self-esteem. It's always good to boost the self-esteem. We all need a self-esteem boost all the time. So now I want you to, if you will, just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold on to it for a moment. Let it out slowly through your mouth. You know, it just feels so good to breathe. And just relax. Let your body relax. Pick a spot across the room from you. Focus on it. Just stare at it. Listen to the waves. And if the music, the background music or waves are not quite loud enough, just let me know and I'll turn it up. Keep staring at that point across the room. Take another deep breath in through your nose, holding it for a moment, and releasing it slowly as you feel your eyes begin to close. And you feel your body begin to relax. You know, it's so nice. It's so magical to just relax for a time. And just think, this next few minutes, it's your time. It's all for you. Nobody wants anything. Nobody demanding anything. Just for you. Your time. Embrace it. Focus on the waves, the music, and my voice. Let it carry you along. Take another breath. And as you exhale slowly and begin breathing normally, notice the rhythm of your breathing. Focus on it. Everything's fine. You're doing great. Everything's all right. Breathing in, relaxation. Breathing out, stress, worry. Feeling your body beginning to settle now. Just allow yourself to float. Feels so good to just float, to just relax, to focus on that person that is you, the you within. And I want you to imagine a beautiful ball of light just above your head. This is your higher self, your soul light. It is connected with the entire universe, with everything. It is strong. It knows you. It is you. It's nurturing, healing, comforting. Imagine that ball of light now. And imagine a beam of light coming down from that ball right down through your head and into your body and filling your body up with this beautiful light. See your essence. See your body. all lit up, radiating, shining, brilliant. And I want you to take another deep breath, and I want you to breathe in this radiance, this soothing, calming, nurturing, healing light that emanates from within you. And now I want you to imagine this ball of light coming right down into your body, to your solar plexus, into your mid-torso, and just connecting you to everything. Feel its rhythm. Feel the vibration as it vibrates in a harmony with all creation. And this is good. This is as it should be. Look at the beauty of that light within you. And that light within you is deep. It's powerful. It drives you. And it helps you to be confident. It helps you to be full of positive feelings about yourself. It helps you to feel help, nurtured. That light within you is deep and powerful. It is everything you need. For everything you need is within you, within this light. And as you begin to focus your mind, your imagination on this light, you begin to see its radiance starting to heal those areas within you that need healing. It's a beautiful thing. And it's always available to you, anytime, any day, any hour. Always a good thing. And in the area of confidence, this light helps you to understand that you are a self-confident person. You express yourself so easily, so deliberately. You are enough. The confidence within you begins to come out. It begins to be strengthened in a healthy way. You understand that you take responsibility for all that which is yours to take responsibility for. You own that which is yours to own, but you reject that which is not yours to own. Your confidence manifests with everyone you come into contact with. They see you, and they see that confidence within you. That confidence that comes from knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is a beautiful thing. You are a beautiful person. You're a beautiful creation. You are perfect. In every way, you are perfectly yourself. You are getting better tomorrow. Every day, you're better tomorrow than you were yesterday. You're a perfect work in progress. You need to own this concept. You are confident in your perfection. Feel that confidence now. See that light within you begin to vibrate in a confident way. See its radiance filling you up with confidence, healthy self-esteem, healthy self-acceptance, a healthy dose of self-love and self-possession. Every day, in every way, you are becoming more confident, more alive, more loving. All of your core positive values are enhanced automatically just from you being who you are. Your communication skills enhance with every minute that passes. You are able to handle any situation with confidence, knowing that it's perfectly fine to say nothing. It's perfectly fine to say that you need more time to process it. Focus on the waves, the music, and make a commitment to yourself right here, right now, that you will practice confidence in all of your daily activities, in all aspects of your life. You will work every day at manifesting this beautiful confidence that you have within. It's there. Set it free. In a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 3. I want you to begin to breathe normally now. At the count of 3, I want you to open your eyes, feeling very confident, full of self-esteem, and knowing that you are perfect in every way. 1, coming out of it a little bit now, coming back to conscious awareness. 2, feeling like you have been so refreshed, just like a mountain stream. Waterfall, beautiful. And 3, eyes open wide, feeling very confident, setting your confidence free, knowing that you are perfect in every way, and knowing that you can attain anything you choose to attain. Welcome back. Hopefully that helped a little bit with the old self-confidence part. So tonight, folks, we have talked about self-confidence, a lot of aspects of it. If you need to, go back and listen to this archive. You can refresh your memory on some of the different things that we've discussed. I hope I didn't put everybody to sleep.
You know, and don't forget, I'm waking up. you'll catch the top of the show. You guys have to catch the top of the show for those who you missed it. It's a wonderful intro. Thank you, Doug, for that meditation. That was great.
Well, thank you, and thank everybody. We still got a couple of minutes, and we're going to be, I believe next week, we're going to be talking, we've got a couple of topics on the schedule there, chakras, as well as characteristics of success. So we will post our topic for next week on the website. If you like what you're hearing, please visit us at mchschurch.org, Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, mchschurch.org. My confident voice left me there. And if you'd like
and
to learn...
if anybody has any ideas for shows, please mm-hmm. write into us at the church site, and we'd be happy to put it on our list. Sometimes Doug and I have to do a little brainstorming for shows, or, mm-hmm. you know, we get kind of ideas from a couple of people, and we try to put it together for a show. But if you have something that you'd like us to talk about and you want to participate, please let us know.
And I want to put this out, especially to those who are listening who are on the IMHS student body. I know we have some students with interesting stories, inspiring stories. And if you feel compelled, I would like you to contact me and let me know that you'd like to come. I'd love to have you on, bring you on for a few minutes and just relate your inspiring story. So keep that
great
in
idea.
Mind. If you would like to learn more about the metaphysics that we teach here, I encourage you to visit metaphysicsinstitute.org, where you can earn your doctoral degree, your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degree in metaphysics, and specialize in a variety of areas, including spiritual counseling, coaching, hypnosis, metaphysical science, parapsychology, and it goes on and on. metaphysicsinstitute.org. It's a great way to enhance your life, your relationships, and your knowledge of the mysteries of life. We appreciate everybody who joined us tonight. Thanks for your comments and so forth in the chat room. Thanks to those who are listening to the archive. Vicki, great show tonight. And we wish
everybody
a great week. Good night.